Yeah. Okay. What Motorola was afraid of was if suddenly there was this huge system where the base stations were built and maintained by the telephone company, and if the mobile units were, well, what's the phrase? It's type accepted by the FCC. So, you know, you went to the phone company and you said, I want to get telephone service, and the telephone company gave you a list of mobile units you could buy, including, you know, Hitachi and NEC and, you know, all of these offshore manufacturers. That Motorola would suddenly go from 90% of market share to maybe 10% of market share. But they didn't have any expert. They were going to be selling a commodity. And we tried to explain to them, yeah, you're right. You probably will. But the market's going to be thousands of times bigger. Nobody believed it. The AT&T marketing hired a market research firm to go out and interview people and find out what they were looking for was a price elasticity curve. Mm-hmm. If it was so much a month, how many would buy? If it was this much more a month, how many would buy? And so on. They came back and they said, there's no market at any price. Nobody's interested in this. Okay. You interviewed Don Cox.
Yes.
Did Don tell you there was a research group at Bell Laboratories, totally separate from us. You know, the way Bell Labs was built, about 10% of Bell Labs was the guys who got all the Nobel Prizes, and 90% were the guys who developed systems that Western Electric manufactured. Mm-hmm. Don was in a group in this elite 10%, in a group that was mobile radio research. They did not believe the system would work. Did he tell you that?
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't know about Don himself, but that organization, that whole organization, its department head, its director, and everything, just came out with papers and memos saying, this system won't work. Radio waves don't travel in hexagons. Okay. So you had the research people who were the elite of Bell Laboratories saying that the system wouldn't work. You had the marketing people saying that there was no market for it at any price. But fortunately for me, you had the regulatory people who worked with the FCC who said, hey, look, we're in this too deep. We can't come back and say we were mistaken. So they built a system and it worked. And it was, as you can see, a tremendous market success, unbelievably so. To the point where in 1987, I was awarded the Alexander Graham Bell Medal jointly with two other people, the Alexander Graham Bell Medal of the IEEE.
Right.
And then I'm forgetting what year it was, a couple of years ago, I received the National Medal of Technology from President Clinton, again for the same subject. And what happened was my career moved on. I moved into other things, working on trying to essentially invent the World Wide Web before its time. I was working in the area. I went to, after the mobile radio experience, in the old Bell system, if you were perceived as moving up and ultimately destined for upper management, whether you were at Bell Labs or Western Electric or a telephone company, you had to spend 2 years at headquarters. They refer to it as getting your ticket punched, to sort of broaden you. And so, on the basis of the Bell Labs my success with mobile radio, I was promoted and sent to AT&T on a 2-year rotational assignment, working amazingly enough in the area of corporate planning, in the regulatory area, which may sound strange for an engineer from Bell Labs, but because of my background in mobile, which meant a lot of dealing with the FCC and the Office of Telecommunications Policy and the White House and Congress. I met a lot of congressmen. You know, I would go around giving this talk about how cellular radio was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I really didn't understand the regulatory process, so I got that. I was there for 2 years. And then I went back to Bell Labs and got into an organization and was there from like 75 to 83, which really was looking for what were called vertical services, you know, luxury services, services you could charge more money for residents. Okay. Unfortunately, all residential people were interested in was to have a telephone that they could dial, you know, maybe a speakerphone, maybe an automatic dialer, but that was about it.
Certainly not a video phone.
The biggest, right, certainly not a picture phone. The biggest success we had from a market point of view was the Mickey Mouse telephone in terms of financial success. But we had, there was something that back in those days called video text. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Basically, it was a terminal you put on your television set that connected to your telephone line, and you could dial in to what we didn't know at that time to call a server. And there was a proprietary server that would offer a variety of services. We did a trial down in Florida with the Knight Ridder Newspaper Corporation in Coral Gables, Florida, a couple of hundred subscribers, where, you know, you got news reports and weather reports and games and things like this was during the oil embargo. And so it would tell you, you know, what gas stations were open and what the price of gas was at the local gas stations and things like that.
Okay? This is 1974.
Yeah, this was 73, 74, 75. Mm-hmm. No. Well, this was the second oil embargo, so it was later in the 70s.
79.
Yeah, 78, 79. We did a trial in northern New Jersey with CBS. We did some work with Citibank. But at that time, the technology was such that it was very slow. Nobody was going to invest in a lot of material on the server. So you had it for a month, and you got bored by it. It was not an enriching experience. Some of the people at the time used to refer to it as sensory deprivation. Okay. But we looked at that. We looked at energy management systems because there was a fuel crisis at the time and an energy crisis. And we looked at systems that would reach in and control your air conditioner, your heating system, and your hot water heater and stuff like that. We did a big trial with about 1,000 customers in Charlotte, North Carolina, in partnership with the Duke Power Company. Mm-hmm. So I worked on a whole bunch of those systems.